It's really good to be with you tonight. I hope you all have a pen and paper. You haven't. You all got a Bible? You got a Bible? Good. That's the stuff. Because I don't know whether you know it or not, but I was given a subject to speak on tonight. And the subject is temptation. Now, I've got to tell you, I was tempted not to come. Because it's quite a subject to try to handle. Now, I want to read some verses from the Bible. That's the only place you're going to ever get any help with the subject of temptation is in the Bible. And so the first passage we're going to read is 1 John. 1 John, if you go to the book of the Revelation and come the opposite way, you'll come into John very quickly, and then the third, second, 1 John, and it's 1 John chapter 2, and we'll read some verses there. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now this next verse is very important. And if you have a habit of underlining your Bible, this verse ought to be underlined, okay? So it's verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. There's three things there that we'll be referring to. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, I want you then to go back a little further and go to James. James comes in immediately after Hebrews. If you're going back from 1 John, you're going into James. And we're in James chapter 1. Pardon me. James chapter 1. And we're going to read the first three verses. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, or brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, or you could say various temptations, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then we'll go on down to verse 12. Look at verse 12 of that chapter, and we'll read through to 15. Blessed is the man, or woman, that endureth temptation. There you have the word temptation coming in again. For when he is tried or tested, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, or the energy of the flesh, the works of the flesh. We sometimes is translated that way. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Got that one? And then there's one other passage I want you to look at, and it's 1 Corinthians. On back in the Bible again, and we're into 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians then. 1 Corinthians, if you're going backwards, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. That's not right. Where did I get that? I don't know what reference I had there, but it's not right anyway. It'll come back to me. It'll be in another place in my notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I have it written down wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, if you underline those verses in your Bible. I should say that I have a lot of notes here tonight. And I did actually think if I had time beforehand, I could have got my secretary to type them up and I could have photocopied them off. But I'll tell you what, if you do want these notes, I'll say this now, if you do want these notes, if you write your email address down and hand me it on a bit of paper afterwards, I'll fire the email through to you on Monday and you can have a copy of the notes of this wee study on the subject of temptation. We're going to have a wee prayer together first and ask God to really help us as we look at what the Bible has to say about temptation. Father, we praise you tonight with all our hearts that you love us more than we can ever, ever begin to understand. And we thank you for every young fella and girl in this meeting tonight who loves you and knows you as their own and personal Saviour. We thank you tonight that as we walk with you, you give us the grace and the strength we need every day. Lord, we recognize that temptation is part and parcel of walking with you. And Lord God, we pray tonight for ourselves here. We ask, Lord, that you would really come to us. And we pray that we will learn something of what your word has to teach about temptation. And Lord, we ask you especially tonight, perhaps for some in this meeting who are really under very strong and severe temptation at this moment in time. We pray that as we look at the Bible tonight, that great help will come to someone and great strength and there will just be a fresh love for you tonight developed as we read your word and study it together. Lord, we ask you to really help us as we look at this together now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, first thing I want to say is this. There are six basic things that you need to know about temptation. Six basic things. And then there are 4 points that I'm going to take after that. We're going to look onto the subject of the source of temptation. And then we're in the second place. We're going to look at the strength of temptation. We're going to look at the types of temptation. And then we're going to look at overcoming temptation, having the victory over temptation. But by way of introduction, I want to say six important things. Let me tell you this. To be tempted is the experience of every Christian. And if you're being tempted to do something wrong or not love the Lord or to not follow the Lord or to doubt his word or whatever, listen, don't think you're the only one like that. In fact, a little bit of temptation is actually a healthy sign because it means that you really are on God's side and the tempter, who is Satan, the evil one, he wants to drag you away from the Lord. So the first thing is this. Remember, every single Christian, it's their experience. The Bible says that it is common to man. We read that there in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. It's common. It's every Christian experiences it. Now, some experience temptation more than others. I wonder why that is. Why do you think some Christians really get it tough and others, well, they seem to sail through and don't get much of a battering? Have you any idea why that might be? Do you think it might have something to do with being really keen for God and really speaking about Jesus and really standing up for him? Do you think Satan would like that? Of course not. And he'll hammer you. He'll try to batter you the keener you are. But that ought to make you all the more determined to witness and live for Jesus if the enemy tempts you in that way. That's the first thing. It's the experience of every Christian. No one can escape temptation. There is no such thing as living in some sort of a holy order or whatever some people think, and that if you live in as a kind of a recluse means just shutting yourself away off from the world and away off from everything, that you will automatically then escape temptation. That is simply not true. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and no matter where you are, Satan can get at you to tempt you. Adam and Eve were tempted by the serpent. There we see him tempting our first parents. That's the very first time in the Bible we read about it. Satan coming to tempt our first parents. And of course, the greatest example of all in temptation in the Bible is where Satan came to test and to tempt Jesus when he was in the wilderness. And so, no one can escape temptation. That's the second thing. Third thing I want to say is very, very important for you young fellows and girls tonight. It's this. Make sure you understand that being tempted to do wrong is not sin. Temptation is not sin. Somebody put it like this, it's a very good illustration. You can't stop the birds flying over your head. You can't stop them. They fly about through the air. You may be walking across a football pitch or whatever, and there might be a big seagull or there might be any sort of a bird flying around. You can't stop them flying overhead. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can stop them building nests in your hair. Well, can't you? You think you could? Of course you can. You can't stop Satan putting rotten thoughts into your mind. And maybe sometimes you're thinking a thought. You think, where did that come from? That's a horrible thought. That's a nasty thought. That's a filthy thought. And you think, well, if I'm a Christian, why am I thinking thoughts like that? And maybe you've already experienced that. A horrible, horrible thought comes into your mind. And maybe it really crushes you and you even begin to doubt whether you're a Christian or not. Listen, that wrong thought is not sin. But sin comes in whenever you take that thought. You say, like that. That's nice. You turn it over. And you think a bit more about it. And you begin to give in to it. And you cultivate the thought. And you begin to think more and more things that are wrong. That's when temptation becomes sin. So temptation is not sin. That's a very important, simple Bible truth to understand, that temptation is not sin in itself. We must learn how to reject those thoughts. Third thing I want to say about temptation is daily prayer is such a vital part of living the Christian life. You all know the Lord's Prayer, don't you? Well, actually, it's not the Lord's Prayer, strictly speaking. It's the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And you know what that, if you know the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and so on. What does the wee phrase lead us not into? Come on. I'm a bit deaf. Lead us not into? Ah, you're still with me. Lead us not into temptation. Now, I know some people just use the Lord's Prayer as just as a ritual and they rattle through it and they say the Lord's Prayer and it means literally nothing to them. But I want to tell you, if you actually take the Lord's Prayer and think about what you're saying, it's a very powerful prayer. And it will be one great help to you in your Christian life. If you pray before you go out to school or college in the morning and you pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. What are you praying about? You're praying for God's help and strength that you will not be tempted and you'll not give in to temptation. So daily prayer is such a vital part. That's number four. The fifth thing by way of introduction is this. Remember this, that with temptation there is always a way of escape. Always a way of escape. You may have been in a situation where you're tempted to do something that you know is perfectly wrong, you know perfectly well that it's wrong and that it's sinful, and you might be almost backed into a corner, at least you think that. Guys, you might have three or four other boys around you, their language is bad, they have you persuaded to do something, and you're in a corner, and you think, there's no way out here. There's just no way out. I'm going to have to give in. Listen, don't ever entertain the thought that there is no way out of temptation. Because the Bible teaches us very clearly in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. There is always an escape route. This is not trapped in a building that's a raging furnace and no fire escapes. You are not trapped. There is always a way of escape, and we need to look for it and use the way of escape. And then the sixth thing I want to say, just by way of introduction about a temptation, is that in James we read there, blessed is the person, the man, the woman, the fella, the girl who endures temptation, who takes it on, who battles through it, who isn't going to give in. Blessed is the person who endures temptation. That is, stands up against it, resists it, fights back, and becomes more and more strong. Do you know what you're going to get? If you fight, you endure, you resist temptation, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get a crown. There are five crowns spoken about in the Bible, five crowns, that every Christian will receive. Well, not every Christian will receive, because not everyone will be faithful in that sense. But every Christian who endures temptation, what are we going to receive? The overcomer receives a crown. Would you like a crown? Would you? Well, do you know what we're going to do with the crowns when we get to heaven? We're going to be so overawed by the presence of Jesus that the crowns that we receive, we're actually going to take them off and put them at Jesus' feet. And that'll be something wonderful, to be able to lift off our crowns that we're given and lay them at Jesus' feet and give him all the glory. Well, those are the six things I wanted to say by way of introduction. Apologies for this croaky throat. I have to preach twice tomorrow and I just don't know how this is going to work. I'll have to stop every now and then and take a wee drink. Now, number one, get into the main part of this message, the source of temptation. Where does it come from? Well, be absolutely clear about this. Temptation never comes from God. That's what we read there. God cannot, does not tempt us. Temptation does not come from God. Well, where does temptation come from? Well, I have a couple or three sources written down here where temptation comes from. And of course, the main temptation comes from Satan. You know who Satan is? He's God's arch enemy. You know who he was before he became Satan? His name was Lucifer. And he was a beautiful, beautiful angelic being. And he was tempted. And he was tested. And he fell. His heart was lifted up, the Bible says, with his pride. And he was cast down. God cast him out of heaven. And he became that fallen angel. That's who Satan is. He's a fallen angel. And of course, he is the one who does the tempting and does all for example, he tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Three times Satan came and he tempted Jesus. He tempted Job. Do you know who Job was? Job, by the way, is the oldest book in the Bible. And he came and he tested Job very, very severely. He asked permission from God if he could test Job. And God said to him, okay, but Satan, you're on a rein. You're on a rope. First thing, all he has is in your power. You see, Satan accused God, saying, Job loves you because he's wealthy and because things are going good for him. And Satan accused God of about Job, saying, well, if you take away all his riches and all his cattle and all his wealth, then he won't love you. And, of course, that's what happened. Job's cattle all died. His whole estate fell apart. He lost all his money. And his family died. And then Satan accused God again and he said, Job just loves you because he's healthy. All right, said God. You can touch his body. You can attack his body, but you must spare his life. And of course, Job, he was covered in boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, and he was in a terrible state. And what do we read about Job? Job, even his wife said to him, curse God and die. Curse God and die. Satan, there was a powerful temptation unleashed on Job. But Job never once turned his back upon the Lord or doubted the Lord in any way. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. He's an amazing person who, in the midst of serious temptation by Satan, he remained absolutely true to God. Well, Satan tempted Job. Satan tempted Jesus. Satan tempted Peter, because we read in the Bible that Jesus said, Satan has desired you to have you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Isn't that lovely tonight? You know, whenever you're facing a really strong temptation, you can't get that homework done, and you're really tempted to copy stuff off the internet, or you're tempted to email somebody and copy in somebody else's stuff and cheat. And it's a strong temptation. It is a strong temptation. When you're really tempted to do that, and Satan is pushing you hard, you really don't want to get a bad mark in this homework or this test or whatever, and you're strongly, strongly tested. Remember this. If you're a Christian and you're looking to Jesus, it's an incredible thing that Jesus actually prays for us in the midst of our temptation. That's what happened to Peter. Now, that's the first source of temptation, Satan. Now, the next one's maybe a little bit more difficult, particularly for you younger ones, to understand. But the second source of temptation is not just from Satan, but the Bible tells us that the second source of temptation is our flesh. Now you say, what does that mean? What do you mean by the flesh? And what do you mean by lust and all that kind of thing? Look, every one of us has a fallen, sinful nature. We were born with that. That's what the Bible teaches us. You never have to teach. If you have any little brothers or sisters, I have grandchildren, you don't have to teach them to throw an absolute tantrum. Eh? Isn't that right? You don't have to teach someone to spit and really fly off the handle. You know what it's like, don't you? Every single one of us has that fallen, sinful nature. And you know, the Bible teaches us very clearly. Now you listen to this. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now that's a big mouthful. And the Bible goes on to say, when lust conceives, it produces sin. Now, I'm going to try and deal with this as sensitively as I possibly can, and recognizing your age group tonight. There are three areas when we're talking about lust. We read it there in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. There's number one, there's the lust of the flesh. Number two, there's the lust of the eyes. And number three, there is the pride of life. Now, let me deal with this one. The lust of the flesh. What is lust? Lust is desiring something that you cannot have. It usually refers to something sensual. Now listen, guys and girls. Whatever you do, don't ever, ever, ever give in to the temptation to go on a website or to mess about on internet sites, websites, where you can access stuff that is sensual. You know what I mean by that? Porn, filth, rubbish. Don't ever, ever, ever give in to that. And as you, many of you, particularly younger folk here today, as you grow and you get into your later teenage years, I can tell you, it will be, because it is for every teenager, it will be a very strong temptation. And what does the scripture say here? Each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Remember I was saying there, you get a wrong thought into your mind and you take it in and begin to think about it. That's being enticed. That's turning it over. And if you do that, you see images on TV on occasions. You see images on the internet. There are stuff that you're getting on your mobile phones. I just can't keep up with it. We had somebody recently coming to us to give us a bit of a lecture and some teaching as leaders in Christian work about the stuff that some of our young people, some of you youngsters, are having to face, some of the stuff that's been coming through in your mobile phones. Guys, can I say to you tonight, don't give in to sensual temptation, the lust of the flesh. Second thing I want to deal with is the lust of the eyes. Particularly again as you get a little bit older, you'll begin to get the give-me's. You know, you see, some of you guys are getting to 17, 18, you get your test, and you see some guy going up the street with a nice sporty motor, and you look at that and you think, I would really like that. That appeals to me. And you know, there are people who literally go off the rails simply because they have such a lust in their eyes. They see something, they must have it. Do you know the story of the prodigal son in the Bible, in John, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15? Do you know what happened to that young guy? He said to his dad, "Give me, give me." He got a big dose of the give me's. Do you know what that was? That was the lust of both the flesh and the eyes coming together. He just wanted. Be careful you don't give in to, number one, the sensual temptation. Number two, the material temptation. Now look, I've mentioned a sporty car. Look, it could be as big as a house, the thing that appeals to you, or it could be as small as a ring. It could be a mobile phone. It could be some other gadget. It could be something that one of your mates has, and you get a dose of the give-me's. I want that. I want that. Let me move on to the third thing. There's the personal temptation. It's called the pride of life. Are you with me? There's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, then there's the pride of life. That's the personal temptation. You ever tempted to think, I would like to be head boy. I would like to be a prefect. I tell you, when I was at school, that was the last thing I wanted. It was the last thing in my... Maybe you're like that. But you know, there are some people, and it really impacts them, and it really affects them. And they get a little bit of power, and they get a little bit of control, you know. And they think to themselves, well, you know, I really deserve that. You know, see me. I am somebody. And, you know, when we're told we've done really well, yeah, be grateful. Be grateful when people praise you, and be grateful when you do well. But whatever you do, don't ever allow the temptation of the pride of life to impact you, that you think, here's me and there's nobody like me. That's the pride of life. Okay? Are you getting where I'm coming from in dealing with this subject of temptation? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Three titles: sensual temptation, and material temptation, and this personal temptation. I read this somewhere one day. Remember, those who always desire the top, they want to hit the heights, they want to get there, discover when they get there, they have no head for heights. Some people desire the top, and when they get there, they have no head for heights. Well, the third source of temptation, and I'm moving quickly here, the third source is from evil associates. Bad friends, bad company. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10 teaches us this. If sinners entice you, do not consent. Did you get that? If sinners entice you, do not consent. Now, I don't know what entices you, what it might be that you could be enticed by. It could just be, even in a rural community like this in Lestuder tonight, it could just be that somebody has enticed you with a so-called legal high. It could be. If sinners entice you, do not consent. That's what the Bible teaches. Do you know that David, King David, the shepherd boy, he has some great advice on keeping the right kind of company. You know what David has to say? He says, blessed or doubly happy is the fellow, the girl, who does not walk, stand, and sit. What does he say? Walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That is, people push you to say wrong things. People push you to cheat. People push you to take a fag. People push you to try a legal high, or maybe an illegal one as well. Look, David says, walk not. That is, watch your company. Don't listen to what they have to say. And if you don't listen, then you're not likely. Walk, stand. That is, be involved with them in their company. Now, am I saying tonight that young Christians shouldn't have any friends who are not Christians? No, I'm not saying that. You must have friends that are not Christians. How are you going to influence them for Jesus? How are you going to impact other people that aren't Christians? Of course you should have friends. But your best friends and your closest friends, if at all possible, you need to have a Christian friend. Someone who's close to you, who will support you, and that you can help one another. You got that? That's very, very important that you have that. Now, I'm going to move on from there. That's the source of temptation. I said I was going to deal with the strength, but I think I'll deal with the types of temptation next, because the source and the types of temptation are sort of come together, and I'm going to run these through fairly quickly, because most of the stuff that I have here probably applies to an older age group, and I'm going to just pass them over fairly quickly. Types of temptation. Now, one of the strongest types of temptation you will face as a teenager, particularly as you get older. Some of you have been converted as children. You grew up in a Christian home, and you remember the night when you were 8, as I was, 8 years old when I became a Christian. And you'll maybe be 14 now, and there's times you doubt and you think to yourself, am I a Christian or am I not? It's all part of growing up. It's all part of the growing up process. And you have all sorts of doubts, and you think nobody else has doubts the way you have them. I want to tell you, all young Christians, and particularly teenagers, going through the teenage years, you go through periods of doubt. That is what happens. That's what I said to you at the beginning. There will be areas of temptation. And one of the areas of temptation will be these doubts. Now, one of the things, of course, that Job's wife said to him was curse God and die. So God doesn't exist anyway. God doesn't exist. Just stop believing. Don't trust God anymore. Whenever or if you're in a situation like that, I'll come to this more in a moment or two. The way to handle that is, of course, go to the scriptures. But just to highlight that doubt is one of the types, the forms of temptation. Now I'm going to deal with another one here. Discouragement. Now some young Christians get really, really discouraged. Maybe you're at a school and you're the only Christian in your class. You're in a situation where maybe you're in a family where there aren't many other Christians. I don't know tonight. And you could get so discouraged. And I know some young Christians who get really discouraged. Discouraged, I'm going to actually say this, and I'm going to say it very, very sensitively. You get so discouraged that maybe you even think, and you maybe have even once or twice entertained this thought, I'd be better dead. That's not unusual for a teenager who's under serious discouragement. Can I tell you something? There's a man in the Bible thought that too. You know what his name was? His name was Elijah. He lay down under a juniper tree, and he just wanted to lie down and die. He just wanted to end it all. Now listen, if any of you have ever had thoughts like that, can I urge you? Maybe there's somebody going to be listening to this on the internet. If you have thoughts like that, please, please go and talk to somebody. Don't think I'm a complete wally, because I'm the only person that has ever had thoughts like this. You're not the only person who has thoughts like that. Go and talk to somebody and get somebody to help you and pray with you and encourage you. Right, the next one that I'm going to deal with is pleasure. And again, your age group, I'm just picking out the ones that deal more with your age group, pleasure. There's a man in the Bible, and he really was quite a keen Christian. His name was Demas. And we read that he forsook the Lord and he turned his back on the Lord. And it says because he loved this world. Do you know what happened? I'll tell you what happened to him. The pleasures of this world were, he was so enticed by them, so attracted by them, that he lost his love for Jesus. Now, there are many, many, many wonderful things that you as a young Christian can enjoy, and you're going to go down to Ravenhill and shoot your head off at Ulster, and I hope they play better than they did last night, but anyway, that's beside the point. And you can enjoy going to a rugby match or whatever. You can be involved in all sorts of sport. There's loads and loads of stuff that you can be involved in as a young Christian that's healthy and good. But I want to tell you tonight, if you ever find yourself being attracted into any form of pleasure that weakens your desire to follow the Lord, or it discourages you from following Jesus, then get well away from that. Demas loved the world, and he forsook the Lord. Now, I'm going to leave it at that on the types of temptations, because I see time's running away pretty quick. I want to talk to you now about strength in temptation. How we can get real strength. Maybe you're saying to me, here, hold on a minute. You're telling us about all the types of temptation and all the problems. Give us something to encourage us. Well, here you are. What about the strength and temptation? Well, you know one of the things we're supposed to do, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to do when we're tempted? We're to count it all joy. You say, what? Yeah, that's right. We're to thank God that we're being tested and we're being tempted. Imagine that. Yeah, that's exactly what we're supposed to do, is to thank God. Do you know what happens? If you never had a test, if you never were had any doubts, if you could just merrily sail along through the Christian life, you wouldn't grow and you wouldn't become stronger. I mean, muscles, what are they for? They're for using. You only strengthen those muscles and you only build more muscle as you use them. And the Bible says that we're to count it all joy when we fall into or experience these various trials and temptations. I'll tell you what it does. The testing of our faith when we have these doubts and our faith is tested. You know what it does? It produces patience. And patience is one of the aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you become a stronger Christian for being tested. It proves the depth of your love. It clarifies the sincerity of your obedience. So count it all joy. Are you able to do that? You able to say, Lord, thank you that I was tested today and you helped me to be strong in the middle of it all. That's a good way to look at it. Now, the second thing is, gaining strength in temptation, not only count it all joy, the second one, I've already alluded to it at the beginning, and it's be prayerful. Jesus told the disciples, watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. That is, that you're just a big, wobbly, slobby, useless individual, that you have no resistance whatever. When temptation comes, down you go, because you haven't prayed. So watch and pray. And, of course, I've already referred to the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. Then the third thing that I want to say, having strength in temptation, is this. Use the Bible. Now look. This book, will keep you from sin. Or shall I put it the other way? Sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. And this book, if you don't read the Bible, you're not going to be strong when temptation comes. It's so important to understand. I just want to look up a couple of verses here and point them out to you. Now, this is exactly what Jesus did. Is there any better example of how to handle temptation than that of Jesus? Just let me deal with this very quickly. Matthew chapter 4. Here it is. Now, here's what the tempter said. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be bread. When did Satan say that to Jesus? When he'd been fasting 40 days. Eh? Fasting 40 days, and then Satan said to him, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Do you see what he did? And how did Jesus answer him? He quoted the scriptures. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The second time that Satan came to test Jesus, he said, if you're the Son of God, see the way he always cast doubts on the deity of Jesus. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he will give us our angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then the third time, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, that's maybe complicated for you younger folk tonight. Here's the point I'm making. When Satan came to tempt Jesus. What did he hit him with? He hit him with this. That book is a sword. You ever heard anybody talk about having your sword with you? That book is a sword. Now, it's not a sword when it's lying there. That's not a sword. But when you pick it up and you read it and you say, oh, that's what the Bible says. And you speak it and you tell Satan. But the Bible says, do you know what you're doing? You're plunging the sword. Well, you're not plunging the sword into Satan that way because he's under our feet. You're doing that. And you're plunging the sword into Satan. Hey, let me quote you just this for one wee minute. Psalm 119 says this. Lord, your word, this, okay, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, listen, you won't always have your Bible with you when temptation comes. Temptation will come to you in the middle of class. Temptation will come to you someday when you're in the swimming pool. Temptation will come to you someday when you're in the sports field or you're out driving a tractor or you're doing something. You don't have a Bible with you. And if you haven't memorized what the Bible says, do you know what you haven't got? You have no ammunition. Always keep your gun fully loaded. Keep it fully loaded. Double barrel, eh? Keep your gun fully loaded. What are you loaded with? This book. Fill your mind with the scriptures. Listen, don't sit and play computer games till your brain is fried. Fill your mind with verses from the Bible. And you know what you'll be like? You'll just be like a five-shot repeater. When Satan comes at you, boom, 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 and you'll be able to hurl those bullets back at Satan, and you'll be able to resist him. You got it? Use the scriptures. And you can only use the scriptures when you've got to know them for yourself. Strengthen temptation. And then I'm going to finish, if I can find my notes, because I've changed this all around. Strengthen temptation. And then the last point was overcoming temptation. Here we are. Four wee things in finishing. I promise just a couple more minutes. Overcoming temptation. How am I going to overcome? I can see some of you guys tonight, and I can tell actually as I'm speaking that some of you are just getting it rough enough at times, am I right? You're just finding it hard enough to resist temptation. And as a young Christian, you're a bit wobbly on it. Am I right? Well, listen, four things for you as you go home. Remember this. God never, ever breaks his promise. Never breaks his promise. And God is absolutely faithful. Now get that firmly fixed in your mind. Okay, God will not let me down. So rely. Number one, rely on God's faithfulness. You've got that fair and square. Then James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, resist the devil. Resist the devil. Pardon me. Now, there are some people, and if you resist them, they'll fly at you. All right? You resist some people, and they'll come straight back at you. But you know what? Satan is such a coward. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He'll run away. So resist the devil. Stand up against him. Rely on God's faithfulness. Secondly, resist the devil. And the Bible says he will flee. He will run away. He'll go away if you stand against him. And then the third R, rely, resist. And I know for some of you teenage lads especially, it's not within your nature to run. You're not the kind of fellow that likes to back off. Well, I want to tell you something tonight. The Bible is quite clear. Paul wrote to young Timothy, a young guy. You know what he told him? He said, flee. Run! That's what he said. Run! Get away. Get out of the situation. Don't stay there for any more testing or any more temptation. Tell me, have you read the story of Joseph in the Bible? It's one of the most wonderful stories. I've been reading it recently. Joseph was a young, listen guys, he was a young, red-blooded male. He was probably in his late 20s, and he was prime minister in Egypt. our next to prime minister in Egypt. And Potiphar, who was next to Pharaoh, Potiphar's wife was a complete rascal. And Potiphar's wife did everything she could to destroy Joseph. She said, simply she said, come, sleep with me. And you know what Joseph did? There was a young guy, it was the strongest temptation that any young man could ever face in that situation. There was no one else in the house, there was no one else there. And it would have been the easiest thing in the world for Joseph to do. You know what it was? To give in. What did Joseph do? He ran. All right, she grabbed a hold of his coat and she pulled his coat off him and then she accused him. But Joseph escaped with his purity. He never gave in. Guys, listen. There are times when it is right to run. Just get out of the situation. Don't stay there to be tested any further. Don't presume on God's grace and strength. Get out. That's what the Bible teaches us. So rely, resist, run. And then I finish with this. And I really feel I must finish with this bit. It might be tonight that you're sitting listening to this whole talk about temptation tonight and you're feeling as guilty as can be. You're a young Christian. And this past week or this past month, or you were at a party or you were somewhere and you gave in. You gave in. And you did something, and you're feeling terribly, terribly guilty about it tonight. You give in to temptation. Now, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to grovel in the guilt? Or are you going to say, oh God, I'm sorry that I was weak and I gave in. Lord, give me strength. Now, listen, get this bit. The Bible says, if we confess our sin, okay? Don't complain about it. Confess it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and righteous and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us. That's wash us clean again. Wash us clean from all our sin. Temptation is not sin, but giving into temptation is sin. And where there is sin tonight, can I exhort you? Don't go to bed tonight thinking, I'm guilty. I gave in. This is the end of the road for me as a Christian. It isn't the end of the road. Talk to one of your leaders tonight. Get them to pray with you. And ask God to really pardon you and forgive you. And ask the Lord to give you a fresh start and give you fresh strength to live for Him.